As we come before God's word, please join me in prayer. Father God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that your word is in our language, that we are able to open it any time we want. Father, we thank you for so many generations of people who have brought us your word. We thank you for those who translate your word and have done so in the past. Father, as we open it this morning, we pray for your Holy Spirit to come and meet with us. Empower your word, empower your speaker, that Father, you may bless your word, we pray. May you apply your word to each of our hearts. Lord, we commit out the next hour to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before we start this morning, I just want to correct something that I said last week. I did mention last week that the final 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week would be 1,290 days. I should have said 1,260 days. Now, we'll get to the 1,290 days today, but 3.5 years is 1,260 days. Now, for those of you who are just visiting or have this is your first time with us, we do welcome you. We are working our way chronologically through the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. We are almost finished. Today we'll be looking at Daniel chapter 12, and we'll get there in a moment. But if you are new with us, Daniel chapter 12 is part of a longer section which goes from chapter 10 through to chapter 12. And we've covered each of these chapters, or each of these sections, over 4 sermons. This is the 4th of those sermons. Our text this morning will be Daniel chapter 12. Now, if you've missed the previous sermons, you're welcome to download them from our church website for free. And the title for this morning is Israel's Humiliation and Restoration, and this is part 4 in that series. Let me review for a little bit. Daniel chapter 10 through 12 form one long, coherent whole. It was all recorded in 536 BC. 2 years prior, the Jews had returned to Jerusalem with the express permission of being able to rebuild the temple. And the work began with enthusiasm, but they only got as far as finishing the foundations. Work then stalled. And when Daniel learned that the work had stopped, he went to prayer and he prayed for 3 weeks. At the end of those 3 weeks, he was then met by a man that is described as a man clothed in linen. Daniel 10 verses 4 to 9. Now I suspect that this was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ in all his glory. And for Daniel to view the glorified Christ was too much, and it sapped him of all strength. The second visitor is described as one in the appearance of a man. We presume that was the angel Gabriel. He then strengthened and spoke to Daniel, explaining the events over the next 360 years. That's Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 11 then outlines that instruction. Verse 2 dealt with the remaining kings of the Persian Empire. Verses 3 to 4 then dealt with Alexander the Great. And when he died unexpectedly, his kingdom was ruled by 4 generals, and the Bible focuses on 2 of them for the next section. That's verses 5 through 20. That section deals with what is known as the kings of the north, which was the Seleucid kingdom of Assyria, and the king of the south was the Ptolemaic kingdom of Egypt. These two were in constant battles, and as they battled, they traipsed over the land of Israel, which was caught in the middle. Chapter 11, verses 21 to 35, then center on the exploits of Antiochus IV Epiphanes. He not only massacred many, many Israelites, But his men also set up the abomination that causes desolation. And that happened in the Jewish temple, as recorded in chapter 11, verse 31. The extra biblical narrative is given to us in the book of 1 Maccabees, 1 and 2 Maccabees, again, not part of scripture. But chapter 1, 1 Maccabees 1, verse 64 says Israel lay under a reign of terror. Now, Daniel 11, verses 36 to 45 speak of a king. And of course, we need to point out that Antiochus IV Epiphanes was not a king, even though he acted like one. This leads me to conclude that verses 36 to 45 describes a still future king. This king, the same king, is also mentioned in chapters 2 and 7 and 8, and he will be the one the New Testament refers to as the Antichrist. Now, all of that is the context of today's passage. After dealing with the chapter, I want to review the prophetic chapters throughout the book of Daniel, because this will be our final sermon in the prophetic parts of the book of Daniel. In our next study, which will be in 2 weeks' time, we will deal with the final chronological event in Daniel's life, chapter 6. That's Daniel in the lion's den, arguably the most famous section that deals with Daniel. But today we are looking at Daniel chapter 12, so please turn there in your Bibles. Let me reiterate what I said last week. Whatever our perception on the order of end time events, it is wise to hold those views loosely and to respond graciously to other people who may hold differing views from us. I certainly think that by the time these events occur, all of us will be wrong on at least one aspect of it. Now, before we read chapter 12, I want you to show you this following chart, which I believe will prove helpful to us both as we read and as we study the chapter. You'll see how chapter 12 is broken up. There are two sections, or two parts to it. The first part is the verses relating to Daniel personally. That's verses 4a, verses 5 and 6, verses 8 and 9, and verse 13. And the second part is the verses that relate to Daniel's 70th week. That's verses 1 to 3, verse 4b, verse 7, and verses 10 to 12. And as we go through, you will see that this chapter flip-flops between those two. Now, in our study of this chapter, I intend dealing with the chapter under these two broad headings, because I think that will actually make things a bit easier for us. Now, we'll leave that chart up there for a moment, but as we go through it, please follow along as I read chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation until that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream, and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream, "How long shall it be till the end of these wonders?" And I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time, and that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? He said, Go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. Well, let's start studying this under the first heading, verses relating to Daniel personally. Now, this represents the left-hand side of that chart that we just saw. Now, let me read just those verses so that you get the idea. Let's have a look at verse 4a. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Verses 5 and 6. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream, How long shall it be till the end of these wonders? Verse 7 then has the answer, which we'll come to in a moment. Verse 8, I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? He said, Go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. And go down to verse 13. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. Those are the verses in the chapter that deal with Daniel personally. Now, reading those verses in order reminds us of what was going on physically. Back in chapter 10, verse 4, we read that Daniel was standing on the banks of the river Tigris. And verse 5 of that chapter tells us the man clothed in linen was there and also Gabriel. Gabriel was obviously close enough to be able to touch Daniel and may have actually even physically helped him to get up. However, in that chapter, that's chapter 10, there are no words recorded by the man clothed in linen. All it says is his words were like the sound of a multitude. And from that point on, it is Gabriel that speaks. Now you go back to chapter 10 and run your eye down the text. Daniel spoke in chapter 10, verses 16 to 17, and then he did not say another recorded word until chapter 12, verse 8. That's 56 straight verses where nothing is recorded as being spoken by Daniel. Presumably for all that time, he was standing on the banks of the river. And in these verses in chapter 12, we are given further information. In addition to the man clothed in linen and Gabriel, verse 5 of chapter 12 tells us there were two others, one on each bank of the river. Further, it tells us that the man clothed in linen was somehow hovering above the waters in between the banks. Now, a question was put to him in verse 6, but it seems that it wasn't Daniel that asked, and the questioner is not actually identified. This questioner asked, How long shall it be until the end of these wonders? Now, the answer was given, which we'll come to in a moment. But again, Daniel found himself sort of scratching his head because he still did not understand. But it was here in Daniel 12, verse 8, that we finally find Daniel speaking again. Right, look at what it says, verse 8. Then I said, O my Lord, presumably there he's addressing Gabriel. If you look at the text, you'll see that the word Lord is not capitalized. O my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? And he said, Go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until their time of the end. Now, presumably this answer satisfied Daniel somewhat. And that last verse that involves Daniel personally is verse 13. Right, where he is told, go your way until the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. So what we find at the end of the chapter is that Daniel is probably still fairly confused about what he's heard. But as we've seen on other occasions, Daniel was faithful to record all that had been said, but he personally did not get it. And Gabriel assured him that that was okay because it wasn't meant to be understood by him, but it would certainly apply to those who lived long after him. Okay, that deals with the verses there in the chapter regarding Daniel personally. Let's now move on to point number two, verses relating to Daniel's 70th week. Here we're going to look at the verses that refer to Daniel's 70th week. Remember, that comes out of Daniel chapter 9. And we believe that this is a time still future. So let's have a look at some of these verses under different subheadings, or just looking at the verse brackets anyway. Let's first of all look at verses 1 to 3. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Now the phrase at that time there in verse 1 refers to the 7-year period which makes up the 70th week of Daniel. And at that time Michael will be given a special role to care for the Jewish people. Note that Gabriel there refers to your people in addressing Daniel, that's the Jews. Now, this will not be a good time. In fact, it will be a time of incredible bloodshed. And it will be unequaled in Israel's entire history. And you and I now know that that will also include the time of the Nazi Holocaust. This will be an horrendous time. But verse 1 tells us that at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. The Expositor's Bible Commentary says this: This is the first and only unambiguous reference to resurrection from the dead in the Old Testament, although the concept is not entirely foreign to Hebrew thought. Given the statement by Isaiah that your dead shall live, Isaiah 26 verse 19, and both the prophets Elijah and Elisha were miracle workers who brought individuals back to life. See 1 Kings 17 and 2 Kings 4. End quote. Now certainly we find far more information about the resurrection of the dead when we come to the New Testament, both of the saints being raised to eternal life, and the unrepentant to everlasting judgment. And verse 2 here states categorically that the, quote, shame and contempt, unquote, experienced by those whose names are not in the book, will be everlasting contempt. These are therefore literally life and death verses. Eternal life on the one hand, eternal death on the other. Now, Jesus himself spoke of the resurrection of the dead and of judgment. Please keep your finger there in Daniel. Go over to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And look there at verses 24 to 29. John chapter 5, reading from verse 24. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." Now, if you are not a Christian this morning listening to this message, you need to pay attention to Jesus' words. Every man and woman will be judged by Jesus Christ on the basis of whether or not they trusted him alone for salvation. Now, in order to ensure that your name is written in the book that we read about in Daniel 12, verse 1, you need to come to Jesus Christ by faith. And you need to ask him to cleanse you of sin, because sin is the biggest problem. Do not trust your upbringing or your religious devotion or your wonderful service toward him. They are all worthless. Trusting Jesus Christ alone is the only way that you can be saved. Okay, let's go back to chapter 12, Daniel chapter 12. Look at verse 3. "And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." Those who are wise in that verse are those who see the signs of the times and respond biblically. Now, at this point, I want to give you a serious warning. You and I live in an age where the internet seems to be almost hemorrhaging with conspiracy theories. Right-wing theorists abound. And in the Christian world, such people scour the news feeds, trying to equate this or that event to what they read in their Bible. We as elders are united in warning you not to engage in such fruitless pursuits or to read their blogs or their websites. Now, this is where an understanding of church history becomes very helpful, and it can save you from a lot of heartache. Because in most eras throughout church history, Bible-believing evangelical Christians have engaged in this kind of activity, and it is all proven fruitless. The very early church was utterly convinced that Nero would prove to be the Antichrist, and that Jesus' return was imminent. Going a bit further forward, at the time of the English Civil War under the Puritans, under Oliver Cromwell, evangelical Puritan soldiers heroically and gladly went to their deaths utterly convinced that Jesus Christ was going to return soon, because the year 1666 was coming, and that number involves 666, the sign of the beast. So they gladly went to their death thinking that they were going, that the return of Christ was imminent. And then recently, when I was growing up, I remember evangelical Christians being utterly convinced that the European Union would become the 10-nation confederacy, and therefore Jesus' return was imminent. Now, what you are seeing today in the blogosphere and various websites are but the latest iteration of these ideas. Now, please do not misunderstand me. It is true that ever since Jesus ascended to heaven in Acts chapter 1, his return has always been imminent. He could return at any moment. There is nothing that needs to happen in between. He could return at any time. That is a glorious truth. And we need to be ready for that eventuality. However, it is also equally true that we are not to waste time trying to work out when these things are going to take place. Jesus himself told us what we need to look for. Turn over to Luke chapter 21, please. Luke chapter 21, let me make this really clear for you. From the words of Jesus himself. Luke 21, look, listen or follow along as I read verses 20 to 31. Luke 21, starting in verse 20. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart, and let not those who are out in the country enter it. For these are days of vengeance, to fulfill all that is written. Alas for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days. For there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Now, three times in those verses, Jesus used the phrase, when you see these things, verse 20, verse 28, and verse 31. Those are the things that you need to watch for, not end times websites. With all the loving exhortation that we as elders can muster, we implore you, please, please, please do not get caught up in such pursuits. Do not visit their websites, do not follow their feeds, do not subscribe to their YouTube channels. They will take you down rabbit holes out of which you will have a great deal of trouble extricating yourself. And after all of those expended efforts, you will realize that it's all been absolutely pointless. Think about this. This is now sermon number 22, working our way most of the way through the book of Daniel. Most of you have been with us for the entire series. Now, if we as elders believe that we needed to alert you of end times events being fulfilled in our day, don't you think we would have told you? Don't you think we would have said, folks, this is all being fulfilled in our day, as seen by this event and this person, and this is what's going on? The fact that we have not done that ought to cause you to question the veracity of such people and their claims. If you look at these people, often they are not even theologians. Very often they're not even pastors. And even if they are theologians and pastors, they are not your pastors. I cannot stress strongly enough how important this is for you here in our church. Please do not get caught up with such fruitless exercises. If you find that you have been caught up with this sort of thing, and if you found that you're having trouble and getting trouble getting out of it, please do come and speak to the elders. We're very happy to help you and to give you advice. Now, that's very negative. Let me give you the positive side. I want to show you from Scripture those things that you should be pursuing instead of that sort of stuff. Both Daniel chapter 12 in verses 3 and 10 speak of those who are wise. Now, I realize the context there in Daniel 12 is talking about Jewish believers, but the same truths apply to us as well. So I want to answer the question, what is wisdom in a biblical sense? Well, let me show you from Scripture. Please turn over to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Follow along as I read Proverbs 1, verses 1 to 7. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let me offer you some definition of those terms. Knowledge in verse 4. Knowledge is a clear perception of what is true and factual. It is the ability to discern fact from fiction and cause from effect. Discretion, also in verse 4, is the ability to judge critically as to what is proper and profitable. It is the appropriate application of the knowledge one possesses. Proverbs 8, verse 12 in the NIV says this, I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. The wise man or woman in verse 5 is spiritually mature. Such mature people are constantly prudent in behavior, knowledge, and they display discretion. They are always alert and receptive to input both from God and from other people, those who may know more than he or she does. Proverbs 13, verse 10 in the NIV says this, where there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Those who add to their learning, verse 5, are ever teachable, always ready to learn something he or she does not know or needs to know better. They will not react according to that which is expedient for the time. Rather, they will make deliberate and conscious choices to honor God. This description of a biblically wise person does not describe someone who frequents end time websites. Instead, he or she studies Scripture. Daniel 12, verse 10, those who are wise shall understand. Now, in addition, those who are wise also lead others to fear and honor Messiah Jesus. Proverbs 11, verse 30 in the NASB says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. Now, if you now go back to Daniel chapter 12, the result of both of these choices is given to us in verse 3. Look at what it says there. They shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Now, if you ever needed an incentive to live a righteous and holy life, pointing others to the truth of Scripture, these verses provide it. Applying these verses to the Jewish people at the time of the Antichrist, such Jews may not yet believe in Messiah Jesus. But if they reject Antichrist and his commands, they will be refined, and if they survive, they will believe in Messiah when he returns and they see the nail prints in his hands. Daniel is then instructed to seal up the book and to protect it, verse 4, until the time of the end. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? It would be pointless to record all of this and not ensure it's kept safe until those who need it have access to it. And verse 4b, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. This tells us at the time of the tribulation, many Jewish people will seek answers, and they will turn to and find those answers in the book of Daniel. This contrasts totally to the people, or to the Jewish people in Hosea's day. Remember Hosea 4, verse 6? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. That contrasts totally to the last days, where instead of languishing under a lack of knowledge, the Jewish people will thirst for knowledge and seek that knowledge in God's word, and God will answer them through his word. That brings us to verses 5 to 7. Go back to Daniel 12 and look at verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream, how long shall it be until the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand towards heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time, and that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. Now, as I said before, it was at this point that Gabriel finished speaking. And in the silence following, Daniel recorded the presence of two others, one standing on each bank of the river. The presence of those two is significant, not because they spoke, but because of the fact that in Israel, if you had a legal statement, it needed two witnesses in order to provide veracity. In fact, it may have been one of these two that spoke to the man in linen. We don't know. But whoever it was, he asked the man in linen how long it would be until these things would be finished. The man in linen then raised both hands toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever. Now, in the Old Testament, it was customary for men to swear an oath by raising one's right hand and by so doing acknowledging God as his witness. So lifting both hands presumably gave extra emphasis to the truth of the statement that was being given. And his reply that it would be for time, times, and half a time. And if you've been with us, you would recognize that as the now familiar 3.5 year period. Now, don't discount the fact that he raised both hands towards heaven. What that tells us is that this will happen exactly as prophesied, and it will happen because Jesus said it, not only because he does not lie, but because he also gave that signal to show the veracity of his statement. All right, let's now go to verses 10 to 12. Please follow along. Verse 10, many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. Now, this is now the third time that we read of the abomination that causes desolation in the book of Daniel. The other two times being 9 verse 27 and 11 verse 31. But notice that a new length of time is given here. From the setting up of the abomination that causes desolation, there will be 1,290 days. Now that's odd, because 3.5 years, according to the Jewish calendar, equates to 1,260 days, not 1,290 days. So there's no explanation given as to explain those extra 30 days. Nor are we given any indication explaining the 1,335 days. Now, various theories have been given regarding the different lengths of days. The simple truth is we have no idea. The Bible does not tell us. But presumably when it happens, it will be worked out, and it will find those who live through that will find out what that means. Okay. That brings us to the end of the prophetic sections of the book of Daniel. What I want to do now is to gather up all the sections that we have looked at throughout the book of Daniel, the prophetic sections, and try to make a coherent whole from them. So this leads us to point number 3, combining the prophetic chapters. Now the diagram that you can see on the screen at the moment comes from Harry Ironside's book on Daniel. Now, let me stress that I do not agree with everything that Dr. Ironside says in that book. But the first slide there shows the whole chart. Now, throughout our series, you'll see aspects that we've used throughout the series. But throughout the series, I've actually cut out sections of it because obviously if you had a whole chart like that and tried to put it on an overhead, it would be just too confusing. And in addition, he, in his book, tries to shoehorn every chapter of the book of Daniel into that chart, which I simply think does not work. So I have in the past cut and shunted sections and omitted parts I consider to be less than helpful, and I'm going to be doing that today as well. So let's look at each section in turn. First of all, the first prophetic chapter in Daniel was Daniel chapter 2. This was the dream that God sovereignly gave Nebuchadnezzar in 604 BC. That dream was of a huge statue. It had a head of gold, chest and arms of silver, a belly and thighs of bronze, legs of iron and feet of iron and clay. And a stone not cut by hands struck the statue on its feet, and every part of that statue then disintegrated. Now, when we studied this chapter, chapter 2, we noted that each section represented succeeding kingdoms as seen from 604 BC. Those kingdoms were Babylon at the top, then Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and one other kingdom. Now, we'll come to that horizontal bit, that strip in the middle, in a few moments. The next prophetic chapters in the book were chapters 7 and 8. The vision of chapter 7 is dated from 553 BC, during the reign of Belshazzar. Four beasts were described, which again correspond to those same empires that we found in chapter 2. The vision of chapter 8 was dated 2 years later in 551 BC. Even though this was still during Belshazzar's reign, the Babylonian Empire had obviously shriveled to such an extent as to not even be worth mentioning. Instead, that vision featured a ram and a goat. The ram was Medo-Persia and the goat was Greece. And also described were the exploits of Antiochus IV, Epiphanes. The next prophetic chapter was chapter 9, where we learned about 70 weeks of years, each week representing 7 years, making a total of 490 years, which were decreed for Israel. The commencement date for that 70-week period was the command given by Artaxerxes to Nehemiah to rebuild Jerusalem's wall. That was 445 BC. 69 of those 70 weeks then takes us to the time of Jesus' crucifixion. Again, we'll deal with that horizontal bit in a little while. The final prophecy in the book of Daniel was given in 536 BC, and this incorporates chapters 10, 11, and 12. Again, these chapters provide details at that stage, it was still future, which would occur over the next 360-odd years. So you can see from that chart that Daniel chapter 2, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12 all give details regarding the same time period. That's 7 out of 12 chapters in the book that deal with prophetic events. And there's a great deal of overlap within those chapters. And remember, God gave all of this revelation to Daniel in the 6th century BC. Now, comparing the prophecies on that chart to what is now, for us at least, ancient history, we can see that the prophecies above that horizontal line have all come to pass. However, the events below that horizontal line, the stone that struck the statue in chapter 2, the little horn of chapter 7 and 8, and the final 7-year reign of Antichrist in chapters 9 and 10 through 12, none of those events below that line have yet occurred in history. Now, let me just pause there and just say, instead of a cross, I would have liked to have had a question mark, but the font that the tick and the cross were in didn't have a question mark. That's why it's a cross. I would have preferred a question mark. Anyway, that doesn't matter. That observation, which encompasses all the prophetic chapters in the book of Daniel, leads us to conclude that there must be a time gap between those events above that horizontal line and that which is below that horizontal line. And the only time gap that seems to fit the chronology of history is the existence of the New Testament church era. Now, we cannot conclude from this, therefore, that believers will categorically be raptured before the start of the 7-year, 70th week time period. We may be raptured prior to the start of the 70th week, but we also may not. Now, why do I believe that? There are many people who try and make out that we must be raptured before the 70th week. Well, Scripture is clear that Christians will experience the wrath of man. Thousands of believers around the world have both in the past endured persecution and even currently are enduring horrible persecution from God-hating men. So we will experience the wrath of man. Secondly, Scripture is clear that Christians will, from time to time, experience the wrath of Satan. Again, many believers are currently enduring persecution whose schemes can only be seen as satanic in origin. So we can endure the wrath of man, or we will endure the wrath of man. We will endure at times the wrath of Satan. But Scripture is equally clear that if we are true believers, we will never experience the wrath of God. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 9 says, God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is possible we may live through at least part of the 70th week of Daniel. However, the church will certainly be raptured before the midpoint of that 70th week, because the second half of that week represents God's wrath poured out on unbelieving mankind. Okay, let's now apply the prophetic chapters to us. As we finish off these prophetic sections within the book of Daniel, how do we apply these verses to ourselves? Obviously, much of what we've read in the Scripture applies to the nation of Israel rather than Gentile Christians. Yet I want to offer 5 points, there's probably a lot more, but I want to offer 5 of how these chapters relate to us. First of all, God is omniscient. God is able to foretell the future, even down to minute details, and those details will be accurate. Second, if God has prophesied something in His Word, it will happen. Now, if it has not happened yet, then we need to be patient, knowing that God has not wrapped everything up yet. Thirdly, Scripture prophecies fulfilled in history have been fulfilled to the letter. This serves to reassure us that any future prophecies and their fulfillment will also be fulfilled to the letter. Number 4, interpreting specific events regarding Scripture prophecy is fraught with danger, and we need to resist such tendencies. Those who witnessed the fulfillment of prophecy at Messiah's first coming, by and large, got it wrong and almost completely missed it. We ought to take this as a warning when predicting Messiah's second coming. And fifthly, in all our studies of Bible prophecy, it must be the Scriptures alone that guide us. We need to study diligently but humbly, comparing Scripture with Scripture. Now, there may be other applications, I'm sure there are, but they are the ones that I was able to think of fairly quickly, and that will do. Now, in our next 2 studies, we're going to look at the final chapter of the book of Daniel that we haven't yet covered chronologically. That will be chapter 6, Daniel in the Lion's Den. And I trust that you will be with us. That'll be in 2 weeks' time. So I trust that you will be with us for that. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you once again for your word and for the prophecies that have been fulfilled in history. Lord, we thank you for the fact that you have fulfilled so much of Old Testament prophecy, and that when you fulfilled it to the letter. Father, we pray that you would guide and help us as we contemplate all of these issues. We realize that this is such an area that is such a fraught, just there's so much error and problems for people who get caught up in these issues. Father, we do pray that you would protect us from that. Give us the wisdom that we need from your word. Help us to study your word diligently rather than other things like websites and newspapers and stuff. We thank you for the fact that Christ's return is imminent. And Lord, we pray that we would, that if and when you return, if you'd come during our lifetime, Father, you would find us ready. Help us to stay focused on you. Help us to build up other Christians and protect us, we pray. Father, we pray that if any people are listening to this sermon and do not know you, Father, we pray that through the preaching of your word and through the reading of your word, you would bring them to conviction of sin. May they turn to Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Father, we give you thanks for our time. In Jesus' name, amen.